Hey, small towners, Mayor Matt Seal here. So you've heard a few episodes so far of Small Town Podcast. You may have noticed the gavel at the beginning and the end, just like an official city council meeting. Well, sometimes the city council of a city gathers to discuss issues in a slightly different way. The meetings are still open to the public and the press, but there's no official business conducted, no votes, so no requirement for a quorum. There's often a topic or a set of topics intended for discussion, but not necessarily a set agenda. This freer format allows for some great in-depth discussion on some serious issues. The conversation can also lead down some interesting paths that were unintended and often unexpected. Sometimes this can be good, and sometimes, well, let's just say it can get really interesting, like my first budget workshop as the mayor of Osceola, when we talked more about the population explosion of wild chickens than we did our current budget. True story. Anyway, in these workshop episodes of Small Town Podcast, we will explore something other than one particular small town. This is still the Small Town Podcast workshop episode, and I'm still your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia. Before I was the mayor of Osceola, Georgia, I was aware of local elected officials, who they were, and kept up with local issues and politics in my small town. I was generally aware of officials and issues in the surrounding communities, but I never really thought about the vast number of cities that there are. The state of Georgia has over 500 incorporated cities, and over 75% of those cities have a population of less than 10,000 people. Every one of these cities has a mayor and multiple council members. And there are constantly new elected officials in cities across Georgia. I got the chance to meet some of the most recent newly elected officials at the Mayor's Day Conference earlier this year, hosted by the Georgia Municipal Association. But before we hear from them, I want to introduce you to somebody. But I have to warn you, he's not from a small town.
Hello, my name is Larry Hansen. I'm Executive Director of the Georgia Municipal Association.
And before taking on the role of Executive Director at GMA, what was your occupation then?
Well, for the last 22 and a half years, I had the privilege of serving as City Manager for the city of Valdosta and actually served that city really for most of my adult life. So I'm transitioning here from the South Georgia city of Valdosta.
I asked Larry about the importance of training new elected officials, and he brought up a trend that I found particularly interesting.
A recent, I think, phenomenon in this country has just been the amount of turnover politically, whether that's at the federal level, state level, even at the local level. So this year in Georgia, for instance, in November's election, which now they've all taken office in January, we have about 450 new local city officials in Georgia and about 70 new mayors in the state of Georgia. So you see, it truly is a time of transition and a time of change. And there's nothing more important than have those that are serving and have served that are also willing to share and mentor those that are new.
So I got a chance to talk to a lot of those newly elected officials at the Mayor's Day Conference. I'm curious, in your experience, I guess if you would give advice to a new elected official, what would it be? There's a lot of people come in with maybe some misconceptions or are caught off guard by things. And what are the more common ones in your experience?
I think oftentimes people choose to run for office for only several things. And I think once you're elected, you quickly realize you have an obligation to serve everyone and to look at the interest of the entire city and not just solely the one or two issues that may have propelled you to run. Now, I think most people do serve for the noble goal of public service and giving back to their community, and they want to make their community better. And so I also think it's important to always look on the long horizon. Sometimes we want to deal with the problem quickly just to sort of remove the problem, and quickly is not always what necessarily is in the best long-term interest. So we should always be willing to take our time and try and think of, as a city manager, I always believe that the decisions we made, we should be able to look back with them in 20 years and have pride in the decision we made, that we made it for the right reasons. And if we were building a public project or a public improvement project, we should expect it to last for 50 years, because that's a duty we have to taxpayers to make sure we're being efficient and effective in how we're using those resources. So I think it always is important to make sure we're making the right decision and not just the quickest decision.
So, and this is, again, I'm drawing from your experience. You were a legend when I came into the fold at GMA and getting on the LPC, and now you're the executive director, so you've got a lot of experience to draw from. So I'm going to ask you this question. I did prepare Larry for this question, so I'm very curious to see what the answer ends up being.
Oh, goodness.
So both as the executive director that you've been for just a matter of months, and then as a former city manager, what do you wish that local elected officials would do differently? What do you wish they'd do more of? or maybe there's some things you wish they'd do less of, and as a generality, and feel free to share a funny story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it's human nature sometimes it's often funny. I've often told elected officials when they get elected, I said, I bet you want to demand a recount now because you can't find anybody that voted against you, and you certainly didn't get 100% of the vote when you ran,
That's right. All
of a sudden it changes. But I do think that sometimes as humans, we feel the pressure. And there may be a few people that are passionate about an issue or a small group that's passionate about an issue. And sometimes I think we have to put that in perspective and realize just because a few people are being extremely loud does not necessarily make them a crowd. And we always have to remember that we legislate for the greatest good for the most people, and we got to do what's right for the community as a whole. And the silent majority is often just that, but the vocal minority, you know, sometimes carries a lot of influence. So I think sometimes it's good to pause and make sure we're doing what's in the best interest of the community as a whole and not just a small group that may be extremely vocal or passionate about that issue. Now, with that said, sometimes that passion is warranted, and it's because of something they've experienced or something that does need to be improved. But I do think it's always good to make sure that we take our time and be patient and listen to everyone. There's a old saying I like to use that say we can be in a hurry to create a failure, or we can be patient to create a success. And so I think patience is a virtue, and it works well in government.
That's good.
Thank you, Madam President. Good morning to each of you. I want to join Mayor Hubbard in congratulating all of you who have recently taken office and welcome you to this annual Mayor's Day conference. We appreciate you taking the time to be here and certainly to be here early on this morning. This year, we actually have about 450 new elected officials in cities in Georgia, including about 70 new mayors. So you're part of a very large new group that's coming in to serve your communities and serve our state.
And as Mayor, now, there might be a preconceived notion of what a small town mayor or council member might be like. Maybe you have an image in your head when you think of a small town elected official, and maybe that image comes from a television show or some news story. But let's meet some newly elected small town officials in Georgia and see if they match up to your preconceived notions. This first person you'll hear from is someone that I have actually met before. All right, now I know who you are because we're fraternity brothers from Georgia Tech, go Jackets, but for the rest of the world, go ahead and say your name and where you're from.
My name is Travis Worsley. I'm from Hapeville, Georgia.
And what is your role in government there?
Recently elected council member.
Well, councilman, congratulations. Now, were you born and raised in Hapeville?
I heard that question with a previous person, yes and no.
Okay.
So I moved there about 4 years ago to the date. But my dad's been a mailman there for about 32, 33 years.
Okay.
To supplement his income, he always had a landscaping business. As a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, I was doing my times tables and fractions in the back of his landscaping trailer.
riding around the streets of Hapeville.
11-year-old, 12-year-old, I was doing my periodic table memorization. So I grew up in Hapeville by proxy of my dad. I call it home. So
now, with all that mention of periodic tables and times tables at 7 and 11, you're really nailing in the stereotype of a Georgia Tech grad, which is good, I suppose. Now, what do you do outside of your role in local government?
So I work for the Department of Administrative Services.
So what made you decide to run for office?
Desire for public service. When I was at Georgia Tech, as we were talking about earlier, I was involved in student government. Before I was at Georgia Tech, I was at Middle Georgia College, was student body president there. It's something sort of deep down in my heart that wants me to be able to serve any community that I'm living in. But in particular, as an issue candidate, if you will, a data-focused one, we have a lot of mismatch.
Now that you're elected and you're on the council, what do you hope to accomplish for the city of Hapeville?
I think we're poised for a lot of growth. Hopefully we won't be a small-town podcast in about a decade. I really think our city, being at the precipice of around 7,000 right now, we can probably hit 10,000 in the next 5 to 10 years. We have some pretty awesome developments on the pipeline, if you will. In particular, the whole entire airport region is sort of rebranding itself from a development perspective under the auspices of Aerotropolis Atlanta. I think from a regionalism perspective, that has the same power and feel to it as probably the Atlanta Beltline did in its early stages. And so sort of taking stuff like that and running with it, but still wanting to honor the neighborhood and hometown feel that some of my 65 to 70 year old counterparts in my city might desire. I think from a larger perspective, respecting the diversity of age, of race, of gender in our city, we got a lot of sort of pain points that need to be focused on. One of those is walkability in his community. It's walkability in our community as well. We have a high walking score, but that's just because you got a sidewalk. If it's crumbling, you can check a box if you have a sidewalk. But understanding it from the micromanaged perspective of you got a piece of metal protruding out of it, that's a risk issue.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think what I bring to the table, hopefully, is a person that will focus on the many half pennies that add up to the dollar of economic development, as well as the few nickels and dimes here and there that are bigger projects that possibly have to be incentivized with tax abatements, but some big projects coming along.
I'm not going to try and pretend I don't know who this next person is.
All right, please, madam, if you would tell us your name and where you're from.
Mona Paul from Osceola, Georgia.
Oh, that is a great small town.
It is the greatest small town.
What role do you have in the great city of Osceola, Georgia?
Well, actually, I'm the Osceola City Council, District 1.
Okay, and newly elected, I believe.
Absolutely, was sworn in January 2nd.
So congratulations on your election.
Thank you very much.
Were you born and raised in the city of Osceola?
Yes, I was. Born and raised, second generation family.
And what do you do outside of your role in local government?
I work for the Technical College. I do the foundation fundraising for our college and Fitzgerald, Osceola, Douglas, and Valdosta.
And if you don't say the name of that technical college, Dr. Tina Anderson is probably going to be upset, so you better say which one it is.
She probably will. It's Wiregrass, Georgia Technical College.
What was it that made you decide to run for local office?
Well, actually, I've always wanted to be involved in politics and just never was brave enough, honestly, to throw my name in the hat. And with a little bit of local encouragement from some local leaders and much prayer, I decided this is something I want to do for me and for my community. So I thought, why not take the chance and see what happens in the election?
And now that you've been elected, congratulations. What do you hope to accomplish as a council member in the great city of Osceola?
Well, we have a lot of great things to offer in the great city of Osceola, and I just want people to see what Osceola's about and come to our community. I want to be a part of something positive, and I think we have that now with the leadership that we have. And it's great to be a part of something good, and I see good things happening in Osceola every day.
And I won't ask you what you think about your mayor, but if you would, go ahead and take 30 seconds to tell everyone why they should visit or live in Osceola.
Well, you live in Osceola because the people are friendly, we're great. If in time of tragedy, we're there for each other. In time of celebration, we're there for each other. We care about our families, about our friends, and we accept outsiders. Example, for our mayor's family, his wife and her family are from Osceola. He's not. Yet, he's been accepted. He's doing a great job. He's been there 2 years. So the things that you've accomplished in the 2 years, I can only imagine what the next 4 years will bring. And I want to be a part of that train.
And I didn't pay her anything to say that. So thank you very much. Thanks for talking to us.
But many people I was meeting for the very first time and finding out why they decided to run for their office.
I'm Dr. Nancy Whitfield Dennard, and I'm from Quitman, Georgia, Brooks County. I am the mayor, the newly elected mayor.
Are you born and raised in your town?
I was born there. My parents are military. I was born there. My mother was on leave and went into labor. Moved away. My father retired. I relocated probably when I was in middle school. And after graduating from high school, I ventured off and I came back.
Gene Harley. I'm from Bloomingdale, Georgia, which is just outside of Savannah, Georgia. Newly elected city council member.
Were you born and raised in Bloomingdale?
I was not born and raised in Bloomingdale, but I was born and raised in Savannah, Georgia, which again is the same county.
My name is Liz Ordialis, and I am from the city of Hiawassee, Georgia, up in the mountains. I have just been elected mayor after serving as mayor pro tem for a few months last year.
Were you born and raised in Hiawassee?
I was not. I was born in Cuba, and I came when I was 2 years old. So I went to school all through, from elementary on up to high school and college in the United States. Originally from Florida, like everyone else who moved to Hiawassee. Looking for some peace and tranquility up there, and that's where I've lived for 21 years, and I just love it up there.
Jason Weaver from Scriven, Georgia. I am the newly elected mayor.
Now, were you born in Scriven? Born
and
raised there?
I was born and raised in Scriven and left and went to back to college and then come home.
Okay, what brought you back home?
Well, farm, raised on a farm, family. My whole family's from Scriven. That's just home.
Joanne Taylor, I'm from Dahlonega. I'm a city council member.
Now, were you born and raised in Dahlonega?
No, I wasn't, Matt, but I've moved there in 2005, and it is my forever home.
Okay, what made you move there in 2005?
It's beautiful. It has a flat golf course.
Okay.
Great university town. Lots of nice restaurants, wineries. It has it's a great, great small town family atmosphere.
My name is Justin Wright, and I'm from Centerville, Georgia. I am a brand new city councilman.
Now, were you born and raised in Centerville?
I was born and raised in Macon, which is about 15 miles north of Centerville, but I grew up on the southern end of Macon, so we would spend a lot of our time in Centerville and Houston County because it was closer than going to the other end of Macon where everything was. We kind of grew up in between the where all the activities were.
They had quite a variety of experiences to draw from jobs outside of local government.
Well, up until July of last year, I was a speech-language pathologist for 32 years for the school system, with several school systems, and I also did private practice. So I retired.
So I'm a 16-year law enforcement officer. I work for the local sheriff's department there, where I currently hold the rank of lieutenant.
The way we've got our government set up, it's a full-time mayor. Since I was able to retire fairly young with AT&T, I worked for AT&T for 30 years. I moved up there full-time, and I'm the full-time mayor.
I'm a retired diesel mechanic.
Outside of local government, I have served in the community on two development authorities, on a strategic visioning program that we recently completed. I serve as a mentor in the local school system, and I'm a retired executive from IBM.
I'm a pastor, came across an opportunity to take over a church that was really struggling. The church has been in Centerville since 1964, and we've been able to come in and revitalize it and reconnect with the community.
I was curious what made them want to run for office in the first place.
I've always been in government. Politics has always been a passion of mine. It probably started back in the 70s when I was in college. Prior to running for the mayor, I served on the school board for 8 years. Three of those years, I was the president of the school board. So politics has kind of been my thing.
So a few months leading up to the election, probably about 6 months up to it, we had a couple of big topics that came up, specifically a very large apartment complex that was going to be built in our community. Our community is unique. It's one of the only bedroom-type communities within Chatham County. And we're made up mostly of elderly population who really does not want to see change, especially change so significant that it was going to incorporate a new traffic light, et cetera,
right,
in our very small
can't
city.
Can't have a new traffic light.
Yeah, can't have all that. So what I saw that day, and throughout going through numerous council meetings throughout that year, this is the only one I've seen when we really had standing room only, a packed house.
Yeah.
And for about 45 minutes when they opened the floor on this particular topic, I heard people expressing their concerns about why they did not want to hear, why it was not a good fit, et cetera. And I also saw where a former mayor came up and presented a petition with approximately 200 signatures on it to the council, who pretty much just passed it around and almost threw it in the trash can.
Wow.
And almost without any consideration thereafter, they just voted for it. And, you know, everyone has their reasons why they did or didn't vote for it, but it was passed. Whether that was the right decision or not, you know, I'll leave it to the previous council. But what I saw was just really the lack of disrespect the council showed the citizens that night, that if nothing else, it should have been something that should have been tabled to do a little more investigation on and actually listen to some people who were not only elderly people, but lifelong residents. You know, you're talking about people who are in their 80s or not older who were there, who lived their entire life in Bloomingdale, and almost like they just didn't have a chance to really be heard that night, or their voice really had no weight. And I watched the people leave that night with tears in their eyes.
Wow.
And I thought, well, these people are probably not in a position to really help themselves or try to be their own voice. And so they need someone to step up.
The reason I ran for mayor is I believe we've got great bones in our community. We've got lakes. We've got mountains. We have hiking trails. The Appalachian Trail goes right by our town. As a matter of fact, we're the first big town that the trail stops at. So we've got a lot going on there, and I don't think we've ever really expanded to take advantage of all that. So that's why I ran for mayor.
Jumped straight in. The only thing I was a band booster president for Wayne County. And I said, you know what? I've got a lot of time and energy, and I want to devote it to my hometown and work hard. So I gave it a shot, and we were blessed.
First of all, I've been asked to run very, very, very many times since I've lived in Dahlonega, and I've resisted, but I see that some of the skills I learned in my career would be of great benefit to the town. For example, I was responsible for the telecommunications and utilities industries during my career at IBM and learned a lot about the industry, how it works, what are the big factors that are affecting the industries, contract negotiations, people management, and I thought those skills are all could be useful to our town as we face growth challenges.
You know, I got involved as soon as I got into town. I sent an email to our mayor and said, hey, I'm a new pastor in town. We want to know what we can do to help. And he emailed me a short time later and talked to us about the 100% of our schools is on a free and reduced breakfast and lunch, which is great during the school year, but in the summertime, a lot of parents either can't or don't budget for those meals, and it makes it very difficult for some of the kids. And so he said that was a big issue, so we partnered with a program through the state called the No Kid Hungry Campaign and became a feeding site, and that's led to more community engagement for us. And so over time, we just realized that the better we could make the city and the community, the better it was for our church, and the better the church was, the better it was for the city and the community, and those things worked together and began pretty regularly attending our city council meetings. And that term millennial gets co-opted all the time now, but right. But I think we'd be better served with an additional perspective of somebody in that age
group. So you brought the youth perspective to the council in Centerville.
We'll see. I'm trying.
Well, sounds good.
And then I asked them what they hope to accomplish now that they won.
I was beginning to be concerned in my neighborhood and in my community that there seemed to be distance. We weren't the good Southern hometown neighborhood that I envisioned and I grew up with, and I think we're moving away from it. I know the economy played a part in that and a few other things, and I just thought we needed a boost. We need someone to come in, pull us back together, remind us of how great Quitman was and is.
One of the biggest things that we're going to have in the next 4 years, we are going to have to grow some because we have Jimmy Deloach coming through. That's really a transportation roadway to kind of help all the trucks and all. And one of the things with Bloomingdale, where it's centered, is we're right next to the ports. And so in Georgia, is one of the largest ports in the nation. And so, you know, we're going to have growth coming. So it's really trying to focus where that growth should happen. Where are those warehouses going to go, et cetera? And I think there's parts of the city that they can be placed in, and that's fine. Let's grow that area for that reason. But we don't have to put a factory or warehouse in the middle of downtown that creates an extra traffic trailer. Let's keep all that on the outskirts. So that's one of the main focus is developing growth where I think it makes sense, while also continuing to grow our public safety, getting a few more police officers and firefighters employed and moving forward because, you know, as growth happens around us, the need for protection is going to grow as well, too. And so I want to make sure that we balance that out and grow together rather than grow so quickly that we're trying to play catch up with our public service aspect, which may leave someone in danger or possibly, you know, a life-threatening issue because we're just not equipped to handle it. So I'd rather work on that from the very beginning and progress together opposed to trying to play catch up.
What would make me extremely happy is to have every single open storefront filled with some kind of cool business.
I hope that we can get everything working in an order that it needs to be working in correctly, monetarily, community with our county. We have two or three cities within our county and our county offices. I want everybody to be able to work together and do the right thing.
As member of the council, I hope to accomplish the following. I want to see if we can do something about our current water debt. I want to encourage us to keep our historic downtown historic and beautiful because it is the main reason people come to Dahlonega. I'd like to make sure our government is as transparent as we possibly can be and to be a really prudent steward of our community's resources.
I think that's our biggest thing. You know, we're a small city in a big county. I think one of our goals is to try to make Centerville the best place to live and play. Yeah, you know, we have great resources in Houston County with Warner Robins Air Force Base and a lot of workforce development and industry, and we want to make Centerville the best place to live.
We're located between Valdosta and Thomasville. Great roads in. It's a good stop if you're going to Florida. Okay. You know, come down 75, venture off, go west for about 12 minutes, and we're there. We have a lot of antique shops. That seems to be booming in our area. A lot of little sandwich shops. And it's just a really sweet place if you want to get out the car and just walk around and get that southern feel and that neighborhood type feel.
Well, you know, Bloomingdale, like I said, it's within the Savannah area, so there's plenty of job opportunities, if not in Bloomingdale, in the immediate surrounding areas. And unlike a place like Atlanta, for example, it's truly a 20-minute drive to pretty much anywhere. It's also, you know, you're only a few minutes away from South Carolina or Florida for destinations. It's a very good school system, plenty of housing out there, and not, again, only Bloomingdale, but surrounding areas, and plenty of things to do. It's a great place to raise your family, plenty of opportunities, and, you know, we'd obviously invite you to come by and check us out, whether it's just to maybe look for a new place to live or a place to come and play and visit for a little bit.
Hiawassee is Georgia's lake and mountain paradise. If you want to retire, we have low taxes. It's beautiful. We have tons of activities for people to do. We have all kinds of festivals and concerts and fishing tournaments. Everything is happening in Hiawassee in the summer. So you need to come up. It gets pretty cold in the winter. We've had single digits this year, and it's been brutal. But other than that, it is a great place to live.
Well, we call it God's country in the center of the world, because you can be in an hour, you can be in Jacksonville, hour and a half, you can be in Savannah, 40 minutes, you can be laying on the beach, and it's a small town life that nobody's in a hurry, and it's just peaceful.
Dahlonega is a delightful place to visit and or live. Wineries, bike paths, mountains, kayaking, canoeing, university, restaurants, and most of all, a warm and welcoming people. That's why you should come to Dahlonega.
Centerville is a great small town in the middle of a very large community. So you have the advantage of having that small town feel, of knowing all of your neighbors, of being able to, here in the very near future, we'll be connecting almost all of the key arteries in the city with sidewalks. So in the future, you'll be able to walk or bike just about anywhere in town. And so I think one of our hopes is to really create that small town community feel, but in the middle of a very large and very vibrant Houston County, where you have access to not only that closer knit community, but also a larger base of resources and activities that you can take part in. So
it's interesting to me how many different types of people with different backgrounds, experiences, and perspectives find their way into small town local government. I look forward to meeting more of them and sharing their stories with you. I hope you enjoyed this workshop episode of the Small Town Podcast. Let me know your thoughts. Email me at mayormatt@smalltownpodcast.com or contact me through Facebook or Twitter at Small Town Podcast. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.